To have everyone back tonight. We're excited to see some new faces. Glad to be able to share this experience with each and every one of you. God has been doing some pretty amazing things already, and we're very hopeful for what's to come. We have some good teaching tonight, and we hope that everyone has enjoyed it up to this point. We hope that everyone continues to enjoy it, and we hope that they're truly embracing the process of this encounter experience. It's truly life-changing, and we want to welcome each and every one of y'all. The work that's gone into this has been it's been a lot, but it's been very rewarding, and we're so grateful as a church and as a team to see so many people begin this process and begin the freedom that comes through an encounter with Christ. And just want to let y'all know we're truly blessed to have each and every one of y'all in here, and truly blessed to be part of this process, to be part of this church. So I want to introduce and bring up my beautiful wife right now, and she's going to go over a few things.
Hello. Okay, if you did not get a student guide, will you raise your hand to make sure that we get you one? Our Vanna White is walking around now. So we'll make sure we get you taken care of. Anybody else? All right. Hey, guys, we're so glad that you are here this week. I'm sure you remember from last week, there are snacks and coffee in the back of the room. We will have a break halfway through. If you can wait, we don't want distractions to be what keeps somebody forgetting what God has for them tonight. And when people start to get up and move around, it's very easy to get distracted. So if you can get what you want right now, and then we'll take a break halfway through, that would be fantastic. We have some information on the retreat. You might want to write some of this down. Our retreat is scheduled for May 3rd through the 5th. That is a Thursday through Saturday. We leave midday Thursday and arrive back Saturday evening. The cost is $150. That includes your lodging, the camp, and your meals while you're there. There is a $50 non-refundable deposit that is required, and it is due by March 4th, okay? If, when you get ready to pay it, you can pay it to Amanda. Amanda, raise your hand. This is Amanda in the back of the room. When you have your deposit or you're ready to pay it, you're welcome to give it to her. So it's May 3rd through the 5th. It's $150, and a $50 deposit is due by March the 4th. All right, there will be no encounter on February 25th because that is our dream team night. And our homework for this week is going to be chapter 3 in Nehemiah, okay? So hang with it, guys. We're going to get to dig into that a little bit more, but it's really going to go great with the things that we're learning in class. So at this time, we're going to play a game to get to know your table a little bit better. It is called Guess Who? So we're going to pass the bowl around that's in the center of your table, draw one, and see if you can guess who the card belongs to, okay? We're going to take a few minutes to play.
All right. Good evening. Hello, Encounter. Hey. I hope all of you guys had a really good week. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I first get started into a new spiritual journey, I would love to say it's a good first week, but sometimes it's not. It's a little more of a difficult week. Who had a really great week? Oh, gosh. Who had a difficult week? Did any of you live this week? Were you there? Okay. Well, I've got my trusty whiteboard back, I see. I had a text from someone this morning that had the audacity of complimenting my artwork. I think it was sarcastic. Those of you guys who were here Sunday morning know what I'm talking about. But it's really good to be here with you guys this evening. We're going to jump right into the teaching. I just want to remind everybody of what Encounter is. I know this is the second week. This is the last week to be able to jump in. Actually, it's next week. People can start next week, but you can only miss two, those first two. So I know some of you are maybe here for the first time, If you missed last week, I know that they may have already said this. I was in a quick meeting. But if you missed last week, you need to listen to that teaching. It's very foundational for the rest of what we're going to be doing. So we need to send them the link via email. We'll send you that link so you can listen to the teaching and then just fill in the notes in your notebook. But I just want to remind you guys of what Encounter is. And it's on page, well, I can't tell you because I have a teacher manual. But it's at the beginning. It's like the second page of your manual. Page 2. Thank you, Lisa. Let's look at what Encounter is. Encounter is an 8-week group that culminates in an encounter weekend experience, aka a retreat. The goal of Encounter is to equip you to remove the things that hinder you from a deeper relationship with God so that you can walk in the true victory and freedom provided through the work of the cross. So what Encounter is an 8-week curriculum that does culminate into a retreat off campus. Now, we're going to have more information on that even next week, but I will tell you, as one who just went through Encounter, took the team through Encounter, as the pastor of Encounter, my life was changed at the retreat 3-4 weeks ago. Who all went to the retreat? Raise your hand. Was it not life-changing? And let me explain what I mean by that. Not one person came and laid hands on me and I had to receive prayer. It wasn't that kind. It's a retreat where you meet with God one-on-one. And I'm telling you, from the moment you get there till the moment you're done, you're constantly being put into this moment where it's just you and the Lord praying through and talking through just these incredible topics and teachings. It is so life-changing. It was so fun. It was, and I've been to retreats for 20-some years, but I've never seen it done so tastefully and without forcefulness, totally led by God's Spirit, yet not weird. It was beautiful. It was amazing. And so I just want to encourage you guys, honestly, like when we used to have something called Cleansing Stream years and years ago here, I believe this is way better. I really do. But even with the Cleansing Stream ministry, it was all about the retreat. The retreat is so crucial. It's like taking all of this 8 weeks of teaching and making, it's like we're building something, right? And during the retreat, we like watch it move. We watch it work and watch it run. So I honestly, if you can be at that retreat by any means, you need to be at that retreat. You will miss out on some huge, God-sized transformation by not going to the retreat. And I don't say that lightly. I say that honestly and calculated. You will miss out. It's that powerful. So I just want to remind you guys of what Encounter is, what it isn't. For those of you guys who weren't here, this is not necessarily a demon casting out ministry. That's not what we're about. All that is biblical. Jesus did it. But I just want to make sure we understand that this is a ministry that is helping us experience higher levels of freedom, removing obstacles, removing hang-ups. And we're going to learn about how to do that starting tonight. Last week was about encounters. But this week, we're going to talk about alignment. What in the world is alignment? I want you to open your notebooks and look at week 2, titled Alignment. And I want to start with 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Love this verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "Now may the God of peace himself, may the God of peace himself sanctify you through and through." What in the world does that mean? I have it in your notes in the Amplified Version. Look at what it means. It means, that is, to separate you from profane and vulgar things, to make you pure and whole, listen to that, and undamaged. Listen. So it's saying, Paul's talking to the Thessalonians, let's rewind. He's saying, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you. What does sanctify mean? It means that you would be separate from things in this world that are anti-God, not pleasing to God, that you would be separate and set free from profane things, vulgar things, and instead be pure and whole and undamaged. I love that. I love that God is in the process of sanctifying us. I love that sanctification is not a place of perfection, but it is a place of healing. It's a place where God makes us whole, which means maybe there have been parts of the true you missing throughout life that have caused that to happen. Making you pure, because maybe you went through things in life that caused you to maybe not walk in purity. But I love that third word, undamaged. I love that, because I know what it's like to walk around feeling damaged. Talked a little bit about it this morning. Didn't even get deep into it, but I walked damaged for probably 5 years of my Christian walk. And it's horrible to walk around knowing Jesus can do it, and yet I'm not living it. That's a miserable place to be. An encounter exists to equip you to not just know about freedom, not just know Jesus can, but to experience it and learn to walk in it yourself. I think that's why I'm so passionate about it, though. Because, like, I didn't do it for a while right, and I saw the ramifications and the damage as a result. Super passionate about it now. It says that also sanctification means consecrated to Him. Look at this. Set apart for His purpose. And it says, and may your spirit, soul, and body be kept complete and be found blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what is this verse about? This verse, this passage, is really about alignment. What is alignment? There is a godly order to things that He teaches us in His Word, if you study it. There's a godly order to the home. There's a godly order to the way the world's supposed to work. And there's a godly order to your life that we're going to look at quickly here this afternoon. What are we? Evening now. Holy cow. All right? Now, when we do this, when we live in this divine order, we more easily walk in the Spirit. Now, this is important because a lot of us have a hard time walking like Jesus walked. I believe you're here because you love God. I know everyone in here is saved. I believe everyone in here loves Jesus with all their heart. But having said that, I also know from experience, from my own life and in ministry, 20 plus years now, that there's a wrestling between the flesh and the spirit that happens that can make it very difficult to walk and live as Jesus did. Am I right or am I wrong? Or is it just me? Okay, you guys are all perfect in here, all right? But as we walk in the Spirit, it is easier to stay away from sin and to receive the blessings Jesus died to give us. So this biblical order is something that tonight I'm gonna label it as alignment. And it's vitally important for all of us to learn how to get and stay into alignment. So let's look at this. Let's look at what alignment is. Number one, just the definition of the word align. Look at your notes. It's to arrange things so they form a line or are in proper position to change something. Wow. Isn't that cool? The very word align, to arrange things to form a line or in a way that they are in proper position. Say proper position. There is a proper position. What is the result when things are in alignment in the proper position? It changes something so that it agrees or matches something else to bring into alignment. The word alignment means the proper positioning or state of adjustment of parts in relation to each other. All right, now let's talk about spiritual alignment. So alignment is taking all of these different parts, getting them to form a line into the right way so that something changes or becomes better as a result. Spiritual alignment is a process of getting into alignment into this godly order. It's the process of becoming free from things that cause us to be misaligned with Christ. It's learning to walk and live like Jesus. Simply put, finding freedom. Now, what I want to do is I want to show you, and I want to give you a couple of scriptures. They're actually going to be, we're going to study this more in depth next week. But for the sake of tonight, I want to give you Galatians 5:16 and Galatians 5:25. Galatians 5:16 and Galatians 5:25. Let's look at this. These scriptures, here's Galatians 5:16. This is super important. Paul's talking to the church in Galatia, and he says this in Galatians 5:16. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Boy, you could just stop right there and chew on that one for a minute. Who's supposed to let? We are? Yeah. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Another translation, the God's Word translation, says it this way. Let me explain further, Paul says. Live your life as your spiritual nature directs you. Then you will never follow through on what your corrupt nature wants. Holy moly. That's powerful stuff right there. Galatians 5:25 says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Now let's talk about this divine alignment real quick. We just learned in 1 Thessalonians there are three words, three parts to who we are. Did anyone want to shout them out to me? Really? What is it? Mind? I'm going to call it soul because we're going to break it down. Soul? Body? Thank you. There we go. Now we're cooking. All right. Spirit. Now I want to talk to you guys real quick about what each thing means. Let's talk about the body first. The body is simply the flesh. Your flesh. The Bible refers to body in two different ways. Listen, this is important. It talks about the physical flesh, so I can touch his flesh. But there's also a metaphorical meaning to the word flesh, and it means sin. The sinful flesh. Sinful cravings. So we've got flesh in the Bible. Most of the time it's referring to our sin nature. Are you with me so far? Sin nature. We go to the next part, and it's the soul. Now your soul, the Bible teaches us, is made of your mind, will, and emotions. Did you know that? Your mind, will, and emotions. And then we have our spirit. And I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit right here. I'm talking about your spirit, man. Oh, I just misspelled spirit. Spirit. This is the part of you that is eternal. Did you hear me? Your body is not necessary. When you die, it says you will be with Jesus, right? To be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. Okay? So we've got this eternal part of us. This is the part that hears from God. Listen to me. This is so important. Here, this is the part that hears from God, right? This is the part that's the mind, will, and emotions, and our body, as we're going to talk on it tonight, is the sinful nature. Now, the Bible says there's a divine order. There's a divine order here that we all need to learn to walk in. How are we supposed to be led? By our spirit. Who's over our spirit? Jesus, the Holy Spirit, all of it. Now listen. When this guy's in charge, things are good. When your spirit man is leading the train, things are good. Because what should be next, when our spirit is leading, we've now got our soul under control. What happens when our soul's not under control? Our emotions are leading the way. Crazy, right? Now listen, this is not just for the women in here. Some of you men could be emotional too. Amen? Come on. Oh, yeah. It's just passion. Alvin's told me that. I'm just passionate. But our spirit is what's eternal. And when God is saying be led by the Spirit, he's saying let the Holy Spirit lead you. And it's much easier to let the Holy Spirit lead you when you're in the right alignment and your spirit is leading you and not your soul. Then we've got the third guy. He's the caboose. And we always want him at the end because he will mess you up. Because our sinful nature is still there. I'm sorry if you grew up under a teaching that said, now that you're saved, you will never desire to sin. That is a lie. And some of you just need to hear that tonight. That being a Christian doesn't mean you're not going to be tempted. If Jesus was tempted to sin, you will be too. Did you hear me? The problem isn't that you're tempted. The problem is you're out of alignment. And you've got to get into alignment and stay in alignment. Because the problem is, I don't have an eraser. That's one of the problems. The problem is this. So this is ideal. Wow. This is what we call in the church the Spirit-led life. But unfortunately, this is how a lot of us live. We get led by Soul Train. Right? Right? Am I right or am I wrong? Don't you know it when you're doing it? Do you guys recognize the difference of how you feel after church on Sunday versus how you feel Tuesday when everything goes wrong at work? Why do you feel like that Sunday? This is important, and I'm going to take a second to go over this. Because you feel that way. Why? Guess who just got fed a big steak dinner? Your spirit. Your spirit man just had a feast, I hope. I guess it's kind of up to you whether or not you ate it. It was presented to you. And so you leave church, like I said this morning, having had an encounter, feeling really good, feeling really strong. And that will last you for about 2-3 minutes in the car with screaming kids and your husband griping if there's nothing for lunch. So church in and of itself is not enough to keep your spirit strong enough to lead the train of this thing called your life. That's why in Grow 1 and in Starting Point Grow 2, we're pushing so hard self-feeding, connecting to the vine, staying connected. Because we know it's not about a religious routine. What is it about? Relationship with Christ in such a way that your spirit becomes stronger than any other part of you. Now, is it wrong to work out? And no, don't hear what I'm not saying. But I'm saying this. I sure as heck would want the part of me that is eternal to be the healthiest and the strongest. I sure want the part that needs, that the only part of me that can hear from the living God. I sure don't want anything clogging that up. So I'm going to definitely spend the time I need to spend to make sure my spirit is as strong as my spirit can be. Because I know the benefits. So we've got this scenario, scenario number one right here, scenario number two. Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you, Connie. She couldn't stand. Oh, I love A-type personalities. She says, I just couldn't stand it anymore. All right, thank you. All right, so let's use this, and I'll finish up with this, and we're going to move on to another part. But this is super important. This is foundational to tonight. You don't get this, you won't get anything else. Scenario number two. We've got Soul Train scenario. Spirit's number two. It's kind of hard to hear from the Holy Spirit when a bunch of anger's in the way and jealousy's in the way, suspicion is in the way, hurt is in the way, damage is in the way, unforgiveness is in the way. What did I just describe? Emotions. If you let your emotions lead your life, you will be in a ditch in no time. Your emotions, although God-given, He is an emotionally creative God. He gave us emotions. But our emotions, if emotions led the Lord, we'd all be in trouble. We are led by the Spirit, love of God. Then we've got the body right down here. Now let me tell you of the worst scenario ever. And that's where maybe a lot of us, this is dangerous because of the obvious, but look at this one. When the body leads the train. And then we've got the soul. And now we've got the spirit. This is a dangerous place to be. Look where he is. Look at him. Way underneath all of this junk, and all of this junk, and you wonder why you can't hear from God? And you wonder why things aren't going your way? You wonder why you're losing friendships and you're having marital problems? The question tonight, as we get into deeper teaching on this, is who are you going to let lead the train of your life? Who do you, now honestly, who do you really want to lead the way? Because I can tell you, obviously, the best scenario is this one. This scenario right here gives you John 10:10. What's John 10:10? Jesus said, I came that you might have life. Life in all of its fullness. And some of you have heard that scripture and go, that doesn't match my life. Maybe it's because you let soul lead your life. Or maybe it's because you've never truly surrendered and got rid of the sin in your life. God's will for all of us as believers is to be led by the Spirit. What did he say in Galatians 5:25? He says, let's read it one more time. It's too important. Galatians 5:16. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Can I say this last thing on this? This right here is exhilarating. You aren't living until you're being led by the Spirit. This is where all of the amazing joy and freedom comes from. This is when you walk in alignment with your calling. This is when everything in life, you're living life to the fullness. When you're letting your spirit lead you and not your soul. So what we want to do tonight, we're going to finish with this scripture right here. We're going to transition. John 1:26 says, whoever says he lives in Christ, that is, whoever says he has accepted him as God and Savior, ought as a moral obligation to walk and conduct himself just as Jesus Christ walked and conducted himself. So walking and living like Jesus could be very hard if your life is out of alignment. But when your life is in alignment, it's incredibly good. Not perfect, but incredibly good. What we're going to do right now is I'm going to introduce you guys as someone who is super good at discussing this from a different perspective. And I've asked Justin Lindsay to come and share on this little segment right here. Or do you want us to take a break, Amanda? How do you want us to do it? We good? All right. You guys, give a big hand to Justin Lindsay.
Super excited to teach right after Pastor Talia said no one ever. I appreciate that. All right. I'm going to talk about why alignment is important. She gave us the foundation of what alignment is, and I want to discuss why it's important. And when you're looking at why alignment's important, let's look at it from a standpoint of a car. I'm assuming everyone in here drove here tonight and didn't ride their horse. Okay, so everyone here knows that, well, everyone in here should understand alignment. I know a lot of you, I know Pastor Talia doesn't understand alignment on a vehicle at all, but thank goodness she's got Pastor Alvin over there. But when you look at alignment on a vehicle, if you don't get your car aligned schedulely, it's not something you do once every couple years. You have to do it schedulely. Your car has a tendency to pull to one side. When your car has a tendency to pull to one side, if you drive a whole lot, you know that pulls you out of your lanes. It pulls you out of where your car is supposed to be when it's running in a certain direction. So when you look at alignment of a car and you parallel it to the alignment of our spiritual life, it's kind of the same thing. So we want to look at why it's important to have spiritual alignment. Number one, let me move this, because I'm not going to need this. I'm not kidding. So in your book, number one, it says alignment will create a disciplined life. I want to look at that word discipline. If you look at it in another text, it says control or orderly. It's saying that alignment will create a controlled or orderly life. If you look at that as a car, when you get your car aligned, if you ever drove it out of alignment, you know it's chaos in the car. The steering wheel's shaking, you're all over the side of the road. But when there's an alignment, it's a smooth transition. There's order within your car. It's easier to steer. It's easier to guide. And so alignment will create a orderly or a controlled life. If you look at the life of Jesus, you know, Jesus was man and he was God, but he dealt with everything that we dealt with. And without his alignment with the Father, he wouldn't have been as successful in his walk as he was. If he wouldn't have been so in tune with the Father, he wouldn't have been as successful. So his alignment with God, alignment began a long time ago. So his alignment with God was so important because of what God was calling him to do. And that's the same for each and every one of us in our life. God has a calling on everybody in here. And when we get out of alignment with God's calling on our life, we have a tendency to miss the goal. We have a tendency to it takes a longer path to get where God's taking us. And then the next one, it says, the next line, it says, self-discipline does not set you free. That comes only from Christ. But to be effective Christ followers, we must live disciplined. I want to stop there for a second where it talks about to be effective Christ followers. I've seen effective Christ followers, and I've seen ineffective Christ followers. God calls us to be effective Christ followers. So in order to be an effective Christ follower, we have to have a relationship with Jesus. So our relationship with Jesus, hello, our relationship with Jesus has to align with what the Word of God says. It has to be in order with what Jesus, in order for us to be an effective Christ follower. The only true way to align with Christ is we must follow him. So many times in our life, we want to pick certain pockets in our life and do our own thing. We want to say, God, I want you to lead this over here, but my finances are mine. I want you to lead this over here, but the way I talk to my wife belongs to me. I want you to lead this over here, but the way I operate at work and the way I talk with my guys, that's just the way we are. I'm going to control this. We're going to let you control that. Jesus doesn't push. He was a shepherd. All shepherds, they led their flock. So God says, I'm going to set the example. In order for you to align, he says, I need you to get behind me and to follow me. And that's where our alignment comes from. That's where our self-discipline comes from, is when we walk and talk the way Jesus set the example. If we're not walking and talking and living in the alignment like Jesus said, there's only one other option, and we're following the enemy. We're following the world. And that's where we get out of order. That's where chaos and lack of control come in. In Luke 9:23, it says, and he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me. I love that part where it says, if anyone. God said, anybody, any of my children that want to come after me, anybody that wants to live an empowered life, anybody that wants to follow me and have eternal life, it says, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me daily. That's alignment. That's the definition in a sense of spiritual alignment. He's saying, deny yourself, die to your flesh, die to your sin, and follow me. He says, I will show you what alignment looks like. I will show you how to keep on that straight and narrow. The next one is, God gives us the ability to exercise this self-discipline. God gives. It doesn't say our job gives. It doesn't say our house or our finances or our friends. It says God gives the ability. It doesn't say self gives. God is our source. That's what this whole thing's about, is this encounter, this relationship with Jesus. We have to realize where our source is. We have to realize the power in which we seek. It says God gives us the ability to exercise self-discipline. Y'all can all look and tell that I'm a bodybuilder. I exercise daily. No, that is a joke, but it's talked about exercising because it means that you continuously do it, okay? God continuously gives us the ability to seek and find self-discipline on a daily basis, on an hourly basis. And so this is a process. Pastor Taya always talks about these journeys, even this morning, about it's a process. This is a process in which we are seeking. Our encounters with God aren't just hit and miss. Our encounters with God can be hourly. They should be hourly and daily. And in these encounters is where we begin to find this alignment. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardice or of fear. He's saying, I didn't give you a spirit to be timid. I didn't give you a spirit to be a coward. And I did not give you a spirit to be fearful. He says, but he has given us, referring to his children, referring to the saved, he says, I have given you a spirit of power and of love and of sound judgment and personal discipline, personal self-control. And here's where it gets really good. He says the abilities that result in this is calm, well-balanced mind and self-control. It's when you seek the power of God. Let's look at that verse. It's that the power of God does not give us these weaknesses. It does not give us to be timid. It doesn't give us to be cowards or fear. But the power of God gives us the ability to be powerful. It gives us the ability to love. It gives us the ability to have sound judgment, personal control, or personal discipline, and abilities. And these abilities result because of what God gives us. It gives us the ability to have calmness in our life when the waters are rough. It gives us the ability to have a well-balanced mind when the devil and the enemy and the world is trying to pump things in our mind that do not align up with the Word of God. And it gives us self-control. Self-control is Jesus, to me, displayed the greatest display of self-control on the cross. All right, when his hands were pierced and his feet were pierced and he had been lashed over and over, and he had to deal with self-control, because even if he would have murmured the words to God, he said a legion of angels would have come and saved him. We have that same power and that same self-control, the same ability to have it through our alignment with God. The next one, it says, alignment will provide a vital source of communication. Now, I know there's a lot of married couples in here, but communication is so paramount right here, because I know that when I communicate with my wife more, it draws me closer. So when I communicate with God, it draws me closer. When I spend, and how do we communicate with God? Well, what are forms of communication with through prayer, our quiet time, talking to the like-minded friends, seeking His Word? That's what draws us closer to the Father. You look at it, if you're in a pasture having a conversation with Jesus, and He's on one end and you're on the other. And Jesus has never left. He never leaves us. We're the ones who stray. And so if we're on the other end of the pasture and God's trying to talk to us, we can't hear His voice. We can't recognize what God's calling us to do. But the closer we draw to Him, the louder His voice comes and the more clarity comes when God begins to speak to us. So communication here is so important in order to create this alignment. It says when we are aligned with God, we can hear Him more quickly. We can hear Him more clearly. Sensitive spirit, a quieting spirit. When we begin to align to Him, God begins to soften our spirit in order that we may hear His words, in order that we may recognize Him in situations that we would normally not recognize Him in. In John 10:27, it says, "The sheep that are my own hear my voice, and they listen to me." It says, "I know them, and they follow me." I said a while ago that a shepherd never pushes his herd, he always leads. God has set a path for us in order for us to follow Him. God doesn't never say, "Hey, lead me that. He says, "Pick up your cross and follow me daily." And this is so important, because in order for us to understand and hear His voice, and it's so important for us to be able to be in tune with Him, is we have to follow what God has set for us. He didn't set His law in place for us not to have fun. He didn't set alignment in place. He set it in there because He loves us. Just as our children, when we lay down foundational rules for our children, it's not because we don't love our children. It's because we want our children to be safe. It's because we love our children. It's the same thing applies with God. And moving on, and in James 1:5, it says, "If any of you lack wisdom to guide him through a decision or circumstance, he is to ask of our benevolent God, who gives to everyone generously and without rebuke or blame, and it will be given to him." That's God saying, "Hey, I've set this foundation. If anybody, if you lack wisdom, seek me. If you lack knowledge, seek me. If you lack peace, seek me. If you lack hope, seek me. If you lack love, seek me. I'll give it to you." He says, "I feed the birds of the air and the flower of the field." He says, "I will provide." He says, "But you must seek me." Going on to number 3, it says, alignment will provide a strong line of defense. Now, this is my favorite one. Alignment will provide a strong line of defense. All right, proper alignment with God equals our provision through Him. I know that if I need something provided, I want to be able to lean on God. because I know that my wife, as great as she is, can let me down. I know that my friends, as great as they are, they can let me down. But my provision, when coming through the Lord, I know that God cannot fail me. And in the next one, it says, this is my favorite one. It says, alignment with God is a strategic fighting position. But you're not doing the fighting. God is fighting on your behalf. That right there is the epitome of spiritual warfare. God saying, he says, align with me. If you was to look back when they used to do wars, they studied their enemy. All right, everything was strategic in positioning people in certain areas to defeat the foe. God saying, all you have to do is align with me. Pick up your cross and align with me. And he says, I will fight your battles for you. Seek me daily, and he says, I'll deal with those finances. Seek me daily, and I'll deal with that spouse. Seek me daily, and I'll provide this. Seek me daily, and I. And that's God speaking to his children, saying, hey, it's this easy. Pick up your cross and follow me. Align your will with my will. Seek my will. And he says, I'll fight your battles for you. I'll walk before you. I'm not going to push you into a battle. I've already been to that battle. I've already walked down that road. I've already been down that road. I know how it turns out if you will just follow me. In Exodus 14:14, the Lord will fight for you while you only need to keep silent and remain calm. Wow. Let's read that again. The Lord will fight for you while you only need to, in the Amplified Version, keep silent and remain calm. I used to fight all the time like an idiot. Excuse my that word, but I used to fight all the time. If I would have known that if I could have just kept calm and someone else would have done my work for me, I'd have been way more successful. I wouldn't have got hurt as bad. Knowing that if we will just do what God's called us to do, and it's so simple that we make it complex, that if we'll just daily wake up and seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all things will be added unto us. That's all. He says, just be quiet. I got this. I don't need you to tell me what to do. I've already gone down that path. I've already beat this. I've already defeated this victory. I've already defeated this foe. I'm victorious and you're in me. So because you're in me, you get to fight from a position of victory. I know on a daily basis, I wake up and fight from a position of victory because of who my Father is and because he's already won my battles for me. In Psalms 91, 1 through 4, we'll wrap this up. He says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. All right, that's where I want to go. I want to be in God's shelter. I want to be underneath God's wing. All right, will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge. God saying, I am enough. You don't need nothing else in your life to fight your battles. He says, I am enough. He says, my place of safety. He said, he is my God and I trust him. For God will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. God will cover you with his feathers and God will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. How many parents do we have in here? If it comes down to you and your children, you're going to put your children out there in harm, you're going to take the blow for your children. Take the blow for your children. We got that same privilege with Jesus Christ. And when we align with God and when we walk with God and we do the things that God has called us to do and we follow the path and we stay on that road and we quit veering off and hitting them noisy bumps on the side of the road on the shoulder, and when we stay on the straight and narrow, we don't have them head-on collisions. But when they do, God's already ahead of us. He's already made a way. He's already set the path and set our foundation for us. All we have to do is wake up on a daily basis and seek him. Seek him in every aspect of our life. You have to open those closets in your life and say, God, this belongs to you too. My wife belongs to you. My marriage, my finances, my children, my mouth, the way I talk at work, the way I carry myself in the community, the things that nobody knows and nobody sees behind closed doors, God, it's all you. And when we begin to align ourselves with God, God says, all right, I can work with that. Pick up your cross and follow me. Follow me. And he says, I have already prepared a way for you. He says, I will prepare a table in front of your enemies. I will prepare a table for you in the midst of your enemies. That's the power that we have in our alignment, our walk with God. I'm going to pray for us real quick, and then we'll stop and have a break. Right, Amanda? Gracious Father, we thank you. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that because of who you are, God, we get to be victorious. And because of who you are and the path that you've already set for us, Father, we get to walk in your footsteps and follow your lead. We thank you, God, for being a perfect, loving Father. And we thank you, Father, for being our banner. We love you, Father. We praise you. And God, we just ask that you bless the remaining part of this class. In Jesus' name, amen.
They're having a really good time hanging out back there. All right, here we go. Let's take our notebooks. Let's jump back in. We're going to talk now about the value. We've talked about what alignment is. Justin just killed it and did a fantastic job. Where is it? About why alignment is important. But you want to know why what just happened is important with Justin is because our mission at Timber Creek Church is your God-given potential. And what I loved, I sat back there, I said, I felt like a big sister just beaming with pride because it is his potential to preach. And we have a responsibility as the shepherds and the leadership of this church to ensure that your God-given potential is reached. And when you have that potential, we want to help you develop it. And I've had the honor of getting to work with him recently in that. And I just want to say, you killed it. I'm very proud of you. You did a very good job. Very good job. All right. So now we're going to talk about the value of alignment with God. When we say the value of something, basically we're saying, what is it worth? Because maybe so far, you're not super interested yet in what we're talking about. Or maybe right now you're struggling with whether or not you're really ready for this journey. I hope that after we start talking about the second half, that everyone leaves here tonight challenged and desirous to change the alignment of their life into the correct alignment. And I challenge you to at least try it. I challenge you, no matter how you feel when you walk out of here tonight, give it a week. Give God 1 week of doing what we're teaching tonight and see how you feel next Sunday. I guarantee you, you're going to feel 10 times better than you feel right now as you practice what we're preaching tonight and you live it out, okay? But let's talk about the value now of alignment. What is it worth to you? Why is it so important? And I want to start with number one, the first reason that alignment is valuable, the value of alignment with God is number one, alignment with God will bring freedom from habitual sin. Did you hear me? Alignment with God, this divine alignment with the Lord in His Spirit will free you from habitual lifestyles of sin. Let me give you it this way. You know, he moved my board. I have a love relationship with the whiteboard this week, I guess. But in order to see this happen, if we were to say that we are choosing to walk away from what we're hearing tonight and this is just going to be how we live, well, the way we would keep our flesh in alignment and in leading the train would be to do what? Sin. Feed the flesh. All right? If we wanted to just continue like mom raised us and we were going to live emotionally destructive lives, constantly losing our temper, constantly getting into fights with our children, constantly getting in fights with everybody, right? Constantly criticizing everyone, how would we want to succeed if we want our soul to continue to lead our lives? We'd feed our soul. We're going to just keep on letting our emotions go because, boy, we feel good after we just kind of let someone have it. You just fed your soul. Hope you got something good out of it, right? Now let's talk about the ideal scenario, walking in the Spirit, walking in alignment with God. I know this may seem really, really difficult to some, but if you want your spirit to lead, what must you do? Feed your spirit. Now, when we go in the gym and we exercise, we're stretching muscles, right? We're stretching muscles that haven't been worked, some of us, in years. And so we get sore, don't we? So in the same way, everyone listen, I promise you this, as you begin to walk in the Spirit this week, as you begin to put your spirit in the engine instead of the caboose, I promise you this is what will happen. You're going to try it, and it's going to feel very hard at first because you've always walked around with such arrogance. That to now walk in humility and humbleness before God feels weak. It feels very hard because that muscle of yours is very weak. If you want to all of a sudden start walking in the Spirit this week, and that means you've got to start forgiving some people, now no longer do you have this thing called unforgiveness giving you this kind of like boisterous like edge to you that makes everyone stay away. If you're going to really walk in the Spirit, you're going to have to deal with that this week with the Lord and start walking in forgiveness, which means that wall comes down. I'm telling you guys, we like how we are teaching this tonight, but this week you're going to have to live it out. But the value is great. The benefits are fantastic. But you must understand this principle of number one. What you feed will live. What you starve will die. What you feed will live, and what you starve will die. What do you need to start feeding after tonight? Your spirit. What do you need to apply some self-discipline to and let some things, and what do you need to stop feeding tonight? And you know what? Every one of you, it's something different. Now this is encounter, this is in starting points, we gotta go here. What's in your life that you wouldn't do in front of Jesus? What's in your heart and in your attitude that you know is toxic to relationships all around you? Guys, I'm telling you, the benefits of what we're talking about are so fantastic and powerful, but it is gonna require you to do some things on with the Lord's help throughout this week and the weeks to come to get and stay into alignment. When I consistently align with the Word of God, it gives the Holy Spirit the opportunity to guide me. Now, that's in here because, listen, a lot of you might not know the answers to some of the things I just said. When I said, what do you need to starve? What do you need to feed? You know where you find the answers to that? In God's Word. And so I challenge you guys to be readers and studiers of God's Word, because as you read His Word, it changes you. It aligns you. I love this scripture in Ephesians, and it refers to the washing of the water with the Word. I love that scripture. Super cool, because I always feel that that's what reading the Bible does to my spirit. I always feel like I've just gotten like a spiritual bath after I've read God's Word. I purposefully can tell when I haven't been reading God's Word like I should, because old attitudes creep back in, anxieties and fears start getting to me again, and I go, what? I missed reading the Bible 2 days in a row. That's what it is. And I get right back into the Word, and I'm telling you guys, I begin to feel that stuff dissipate like fog. I feel it just begin to dissipate. God's Word will help you consistently align with the Spirit. Galatians 5:16-18 says this. Oh, I love this. Oh, this is a good one. Ready? I'm sorry, I get excited. But listen to what he says to the Galatians. Paul says to the church in Galatia, he says, but I say, walk habitually in the Holy Spirit. Timber Creek, I say to you tonight, learn to walk habitually in the Holy Spirit. Now, what in God's green earth does that mean? Well, I've got an answer. Look next. It means to seek Him. What does seek Him mean? Look for Him. When's the last time you did more than just say a flare prayer for help? When's the last time you sought the face of God? When's the last time you sought Him? Seek Him is what it means. Seek Him. And be responsive to His guidance. Wow! What? Like, be responsive to when God says not to do something? Like, don't do it? We laugh, but how many times in a day do you react and treat people the way you know you shouldn't just because it feels good in the moment. And you feel entitled to do so because you can pray and ask God for forgiveness later. Oh, come on. I know how it goes. Listen, a key to walking in the Holy Spirit is responding to the Holy Spirit when He tells you not to do something or to do it. Instead of being rude to your spouse, how about you serve your spouse? Ooh, that's a hard one. Oh my gosh, there's just so much here. Oh my word. Walking habitually with the Holy Spirit is the deal, folks. You do it as you seek Him, and it's much easier to respond to His voice when you learn that it's Him speaking. It says, and then, say then. Oh, this is cool. And then what? Wait, what's before then? What's before then? When you do what? When you seek Him and learn how to respond in obedience, guess what's going to come? Are you ready? Listen, underline stuff that sticks out to you. Then you will certainly not carry out the desire of the sinful nature, which responds impulsively without regard for God and His precepts. Isn't that true? For the sinful nature has its desire, which is opposed to the Spirit, against it. And the desire of the Spirit opposes the sinful nature. For these two, the sinful nature and the Spirit, are in direct opposition to each other, continually in conflict. Isn't that true? So that you as believers do not always do whatever good things you want to do. Amen. See, you're not crazy. We're normal. But if you are guided and led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Wow. Do you guys see how fun reading the Bible is? You could chew on that for a month and get something new every day. So powerful. But that is one of the very first things that makes alignment with God so valuable. Is it helps bring freedom from habitual sin. And habitual sin is not just going and sleeping around and getting drunk all the time. Habitual sin can be a prideful attitude that is preventing you from receiving all that God has for you. Number two, the value of alignment with God. The second value is alignment with God brings an unparalleled peace. Regardless of what you're walking through in life, when you are aligned with God, oh, this is good, He will always provide peace for every circumstance. Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God, oh my goodness, that peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your hearts. And what else? Interesting. In Christ Jesus is yours. That peace is yours. I'll tell you what. Oh, you guys can't see it. I'm so sorry. Let me move my whiteboard. Zane, watch out. I'm dangerous with this thing. All right, here we go. Listen. Do you think there's peace in this scenario right here? Do you guys remember what it felt like to just live and do what feels good in the moment? Where did it get you? Yeah, hurt, devastation, damage, right? Did you have peace of the Holy Spirit when you're letting the flesh lead the way? Heck no. But what about this one right here too? Because we kind of think this guy's a little better than him, but they're equally wrong. Equally wrong. So some of us have come out of sin, but this is where you're stuck. You are stuck here. And that's why you don't really like coming to church that often. And that's why this whole thing isn't quite making sense yet. Because you're stuck right here. But you're here tonight because God's saying there's a better way. There's a better way. And the peace that you are constantly looking for is found right here. And the enemy doesn't want you to like what I'm saying right now. But I'm telling you, that's the problem. You're stuck with your soul leading the way. You're stuck. And the Holy Spirit is the only one who will unstick you, but you got to do your part. You got to do your part. Gosh, got to do your part. When you live this way, oh my goodness, the peace in your home. Where are the husbands in here? You know, there's a divine order of the home. Where's my priest? Alvin, raise your hand. You know why I get to do what I do as a senior associate pastor? Because I've got a man of God right now, right over there, that empowers me and pumps me up and releases me to be who God's called me to be. Without a threat, without any kind of issues. I've got a man of God in my home, and guess what? He is the leader of our home. I believe that God's anointing comes on me stronger as I submit to the spiritual leadership God's put in my life. Does that mean I'm his slave? No. But women, do you know how great it feels to be in alignment with the Lord, in alignment in my home? And because my husband is in alignment with God, there's peace in my house. My house is a place of refuge. Now when Alvin and the kids start wrestling and the dog starts barking and he bites one of the kids and one of the kids get hurt, it's a different scenario. But spiritually speaking, and I mean this, and the men of God in here, you need to listen. Because the women, unfortunately, have taken the role and the burden of having to be the spiritual leaders in the home. And that's not our burden to bear. The husband's to be the leader of the home. And some of you women pal, I get it. Like, I'm a female senior associate pastor of a church. I'm all about women in leadership. But there's a divine order you can't get away from in the Word. And it's for your good. It's for your blessing. And men of God, you've got to own that place of spiritual authority in the home. Spiritual leadership. You want your house and your marriage to be filled with peace? Walk in that role. You're created for it. That mantle is yours. That place is yours. But guess what Jesus says through Paul? He says, you better love your wife like Christ loves the church. And gave himself for her. Wouldn't you want a man like that leading your home? Right? And all you single ladies, don't you dare date a man that can't lead you spiritually. Holy cow, there's this preaching all going on in here tonight. Don't you dare date someone that won't lead you spiritually. Yeah, because we've been there, right? I married a good one, thank God. But I've been on too many counseling sessions with women going through divorce that didn't. And I'm telling you, you should date someone if you wouldn't marry him. It's the purpose. Good grief. I don't know who this is for tonight. Don't tell me he goes to church. I don't care if he goes to church. Don't give me that line. Every guy that thinks you're hot and knows you go to church is going to tell you he goes to church. Amanda, I'm so sorry. But the question is, does he love Jesus like you do? Don't tell me he goes to church. Does he love and know the Lord like you do? Does he know who you are and empower you to be who you are? Does he love Jesus like you do? And that goes both ways, young men who are single. No matter how pretty she is or how much she comes to church, what does her heart look like on the inside? Carter's already at the age where he goes, ooh, mama, she's fitty. Where's Keisha? Keisha, I'm going to embarrass you. Where are you, gorgeous? Here's Barbie over here. Since he was 1 year old, he blushes and turns red every time he sees her. I don't blame him. Drop dead gorgeous. And even this week, saw her, turns all red and gets embarrassed. He knows girls are pretty. He appreciates the beauty that God has given women. But we're already teaching him, and Alvin's been saying it too. Carter, number one, Alvin's like, Carter, you don't need to be worried about that right now. I was like, Alvin, you really got to sit down with him and talk to him. But we're teaching him about what's in her heart is most important. We don't care how pretty her hair is or how pretty she looks in her outfit. What does the fruit look like in her heart? Does she have good fruit, Carter, or yucky fruit? Right, that's what's important. Okay, geez Louise. Didn't mean to get on a relationship sermon. But if you want peace in your home and peace in your marriage and peace in your life, you're going to get into alignment with God. There's great peace there. And finally, and I finish with this, and we're going to have Justin come back up for another part, and then I'll close. Alignment with God produces a fruitful life. A fruitful life brings a fulfilled life. Not just a life that is free from sin. That is great. We want to be free from sin. But Jesus died that you'd have life more abundantly. And alignment with God helps you live that abundant life. Galatians 5:22-24 says, but the fruit of the Spirit, the result of his presence within us, wow, is love, which is unselfish concern for others, joy, inner peace, patience. Now look at the definition of patience. Not the ability to just wait, but how we act while we're waiting. Oh, shoot. Now we're on trouble. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Look at that word there. Against such there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature together with its passions and its appetites. There is value and alignment with God. It is worth the journey. Justin, you guys give him a big hand as he comes up and does this next segment.
All right, we'll keep pushing to honor your time. And like I said a while ago, I love following Talia. Said no one ever. Thanks a lot. All right, well, she just did an amazing job of the value of alignment. But I want to talk about what does a life out of alignment look like. And there's nobody better for this because I know what it looks like to be out of alignment, and I know what it looks like to be in alignment. And I'm going to give my testimony here in just a second, but let's push through this a little bit. And it said, and look, if you notice the text that we're reading, if you notice a lot of this is out of Galatians, if that ought to key you to maybe we ought to start studying the Galatians and throughout this process because, you know, the Bible was written, well, by different people, but it's still by God. And so it's done with purpose. And so I would study Galatians. That's just something God has laid on my heart. But number one, it says a life out of alignment is stuck in habitual sin. When I read a life out of alignment, it's full of chaos. I lived a life out of alignment for a while, and I can tell you every corner I turned was chaos. There was chaos and there was no peace in any step that I made, even in the steps I tried to make toward God, because I was doing it on my own accord. But it says a life out of alignment is stuck in habitual sin. Habitual sin is more repetitive. Okay, it's sin that you continuously do over and over. And habitual liar lies nonstop. Habitually sinful is sinning over and over and over and over again, which separates us from God. Sin separates us from Christ. And so in habitual sin, we're separating ourselves from God. In Galatians 5:19-21, it says, now the practices. I love how they write this, and it's saying that practices, these are continuations. These are things that are done over and over and over. It says, now the practices of the sinful nation are clearly evident. They are sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, total irresponsibility, lack of self-control, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions that promote heresies, envy, drunkenness, riotous behavior, and other things like these. I warn you beforehand, just as I did previously, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. All of the things that he's talking about when we're out of alignment are characteristics of the enemy. And if you want to display the characteristics of the enemy, follow the enemy. If you want to display the characteristics of God, align yourself with God. But all of these in Galatians 5:19 is God saying, this is what happens when we habitually sin, is we display this fruit. What does your fruit look like? Is your fruit bad or is it good? And when we have fruit, whether we believe it or not, people can see our fruit. We should be living a contagious life. Our life should be contagious for the kingdom. We should be kingdom men in our house, kingdom women in our house, kingdom men in our jobs, kingdom men in our marriage, kingdom men in the way we talk, in the way we act, in the way we carry ourselves, and it should be contagious. People should look at your life and say, I want what he has. I want what she has. And when we display the fruits of God, and when we are in alignment, that's what will happen. It's just something that you don't even have to do. It's a matter of following, like we talked about a while ago, Jesus' path. And when we follow him and we die to ourselves, our fruit is appealing. Our fruit is contagious to a dying world. And that's what we need. That's what society needs. That's what our schools need. That's what our nation needs, are the Christians to be living a fruit-filled life that represent Christ and not the world. Number two, people who are out of alignment, people who have chaos in their life, people who are out of alignment hurt others because they are hurting. Chaos loves company. It loves it. When we hurt, we want that one to hurt. My mom hurt me, so I'm going to hurt this one. My childhood hurt, so my children should hurt. I seen my parents go through a divorce, so I'm going to go through a divorce. This one wronged me, so it's okay for me to wrong this one. If I'm going to be down here in this bottomless pit, I'm going to bring all the rest of them with me, all of them that I can. That right there is when we are out of alignment is our mentality. Moving on. Number three, they suffer bad pain and wasted pain. Avoidable pain. I've suffered a lot of pain in my life that was avoidable, and I'll finish talking about that in just a second. I know several of y'all in here outside of the church, and I know that y'all have suffered pain that was avoidable. And the reason why is because we said, all right, God, I got this when you set out. I'm going to take and put my cross down for a second because I got this. I got me figured out. And I'm going to lead this. I'm going to lead this charge. You just watch. All right, I got this one. And it creates the chaos and it creates pain in our life that we can avoid. But it is unavoidable when we don't align ourselves with the Word of God. It is unavoidable when we don't seek the path that God has laid out before us. The next number four is it says they speak and live under curses. And this ain't in your deal, but in Matthew 12:34 it says, out of the abundance of the heart speaks the mouth. And what's in our heart? What fruit really resides in us? I know that when the fruit of Jesus Christ resides in you, joy, peace, hope, love, patience, compassion, all of these things are displayed even when the old road is rocky. Even when the waters are shaky, we still know that because of who Jesus Christ is in our life that we can display these because God is fighting our battles because what he said earlier, he says, be quiet, I got this. I've already set a path in front of you. And so the enemy will use the words that come out of our mouth against us. We give him so much credit and we give him a foothold in our life when we go to speaking death, when we go to speaking things in our life that aren't true. My dad always told me, he said, son, don't you speak it on you unless it's godly. He says, you go to claiming you're sick, he said, you'll be sick. You go to claiming that you're dead, you'll be dead. You go to claiming that you're broke, you'll be broke. Speak the things of the fruit of the Lord. Don't let the enemy have another foothold in your life by speaking death. Our tongue is a sword. We can either pierce the enemy for the kingdom or we can use it to slay our brothers and sisters. We have that choice. The things that pull us, that's tell you. I want to stop there. And I didn't mean to step on your toes, everybody. But I've got just a little bit. But I want to talk to y'all a second. The reason why I know she asked me to teach this and God put this on me is because I know what a life looks like out of alignment. A lot of y'all know my story in here, but there's a lot of y'all don't. This is, raise your hand. This is my beautiful bride right here. 11 years ago, on March the 3rd of 2007, I took her as my bride. December 17th of 2015, I divorced her. Okay? I was out of alignment. She was out of alignment. My car was in the ditch and I didn't know it. Her car was in the ditch and I didn't know it. See, I was a youth pastor in my old church. My dad was a preacher. My brother's been a senior pastor for over 20 years. My grandpa was a preacher and my great-grandpa was a preacher. I'm a preacher's kid. I knew the Word of God. My dad raised me up. My dad told me one, he says, when you get older, he says, you're going to know to love Jesus and you're going to know how to work. You may not be able to read, but you're going to know the Word. You're going to know how to work and you're going to know the Lord. And so I was raised up in it, but when I decided to take the reins by my own hands, I said, you know what, God, I got this. I know what Justin needs. I know what Justin, I know what's best for me, my life, and my God. And my dad told me, he said, son, I'll turn you over to God. He said, you're, I said, I got this. My life started doing this, and I didn't know it. And I married a daughter of the Most High, and she wasn't raised nothing like me. She had her own set of problems before she ever met me. But the problem was the man that she married was not in alignment with God. She married a man that that did not have the relationship with Jesus that he needed to be what he needed to be for her. Satan didn't throw some big thing up in our face. It was a slow leak. Step by step, as I slowly walked away from God, thinking I had my life under control, thinking I was the man that she needed to change, I ended in divorce. Now, that's all I'm going to say about that portion of it, because I will not give the enemy credit. But what I will do is tell you what happens when you get in alignment. What I'm going to tell you is what happens when you allow God to intercede in every portion of your life. And look at me now. 2 years ago, I stood in front of a judge in Angelina County and says, I do not want to be married to this woman no more. Told God, you can't restore it. You're not big enough. She's not good enough for me. I'm going to move on and do things my way. But God had a different plan. And as I sat in my driveway one night in April, and God looked down upon me and he says, I got something better for you, but it starts with getting in alignment with me. He says, call your wife and let's get this thing going. 2 years down the road now, my house is restored. I have a wife that loves me more than she's ever loved me. My children are restored. God's got this microphone in my hand for some reason. I'm serious. And it's all because I finally shut my mouth and opened my eyes and my ears and my heart and said, oh God, I'm yours. Do with me what you have called me. I knew from a young boy I was called to the ministry. And my old pastor said, he said, try to get away from it. He said, that's how you know if you're called to it. He said, try to get away from it. And I've run from it. But God said, I've got something better for you. He says, I've got a better way for you. He said, I've got a better life for you. He said, but you're going to have to die to that old biscuit. That's my nickname, by the way. You're going to have to die to the flesh, the thing that you think you're tough. Let me show you tough. Let me show you love. Let me put you in the middle of a room with my children who are dying and starving to death for true life, for eternal life. He said, let me show you a better way. And as I began to align myself on a daily basis, I started at the bottom. I went through starting point. I went through essentials with Miss Jolene. And I started at the bottom. And God, through all of this, has allowed her to see something in me that I've never seen before. And it has nothing to do by my hands. Has nothing to do by my wife's hands. It is because I said, you know what, God, I'm yours. Take me, use me, make me, and mold me. But I want to align with you. I don't care the friends that I lose. I don't care if I lose my job. I have lost my house. I had to sell my house. I sold 2 lake houses, 5 boats. I got rid of everything. Said, you know what? I'm happier than I've ever been. You want to know why? It's because when I go to bed tonight, I know that if this is the last thing, that when I stand before my father tomorrow, he's going to say, you know what? Good job, son. Good job. Good job.
Say, good job. Good job. Now I have to follow that. But here's what we're going to do. What a powerful testimony. You know what's neat, though, Justin, is there's Justin and Whitney's sitting in here tonight. And maybe you're not going through divorce, but you're out of alignment. And my prayer for you is that you're so inspired by this story of what only God can do. So what we're going to do is we're going to give you time here in class to work on something at your tables. And it's just between you and the Lord. But here's what you need to do it. I'm going to give you 3 things that pull you out of alignment metaphorically because you need it for the assignment. The first thing that pulls you out of alignment are potholes. In the same way he referred to the car. Has your car ever hit a pothole? A big one? Yeah, mine too. Threw it out of alignment. And for months, I was a teenager, and I didn't know much about cars. I just knew my steering wheel was shaking really, really bad. And my right arm was starting to hurt because I'd hit so many potholes in my little sports car. It was veering off, right? But potholes are things that are unexpected, right? We don't always see them, do we? In fact, most of the time, someone else caused it to be there. It's not even really your fault. You just hit the pothole. But potholes do damage to automobiles and cause them to go out of alignment. Number 2, hitting curbs or running into medians. These are my arch nemesis. I can't talk about this because Alvin's in the room. He just had to put 2 tires on our car. One of them was because I kept hitting the same curb by our house over and over and over again. But I can't see over my dashboard. That's a problem. I've lifted it as high as it can go. I cannot see over it. But hitting curves and medians, these are obvious, visible boundaries that keep you and others safe by keeping you going in the right direction and from running into others or buildings. But really and truthfully, when we get out of alignment, they're much easier to hit. When your car's in alignment, it doesn't veer off to the left or to the right. It goes straight the way it's made to do so. But over time, as we get out of alignment, it's all we can do, right? Have you guys ever had that? To keep our car going straight. But medians and curbs, that's really our fault. Like, we kind of did that to ourselves. Like, I kind of hit the curb myself, right? Number three, what else pulls you out of alignment is failure to have that routine, consistent maintenance on your car or on yourself. Things we know we should do, but sometimes don't take the time to do it. They're simple to do, but require intentionality and commitment. In one word, what pulls us out of alignment? Negligence. Negligence. So let's take all of this into consideration tonight as we do this assignment. Turn to your appendix. Appendix B, all the way in the back, you'll see the resources. And we're gonna go to Appendix B. It's the alignment exercise. And here's the deal. We're going to play some music. And we want you to forget who is on your left and right. And here's the deal. This is why sometimes we say, we're great with this if you don't want to sit with your spouse. Like, yeah, we get it. In fact, at the retreat, they separated us. And I see now why. It's kind of hard or intimidating to be writing all of the things down we're about to do. And your spouse is looking over your shoulder saying, well, you really should add this one, honestly. Remember last year when you, right? But let's just do this. Can we make a commitment to focus on our own book and just do this between the Lord and us? We're going to answer these questions. Number one, what potholes have I hit in life? I know it says what potholes do I consistently hit, but what other things have someone else done that's caused damage to my alignment? Number two, how have those potholes affected my alignment? Number three, what curbs or medians do I tend to constantly hit? What wrong attitudes, what habits do I constantly fall into? What God-given boundaries do I purposefully ignore or break through to get what I want, how, and when I want it? Number four, when is the last time I did maintenance on my life, body, soul, and spirit, and got realigned? And number five, what keeps me from doing routine maintenance on my life? I think those are one and the same. Let me give you, can I add one? Here's what you, I want you to add a number six. What is God asking me to do tonight to get into alignment with Him? What is God asking me to do tonight? What is He asking me to change? Or what is He asking me to do differently starting tonight to get into alignment? We're going to take 10 minutes. Hey, I understand that some people may have to go potty and stuff like that, but this is a super, we're having music come up right now. This is a super important moment in encounter. This is a moment for you to encounter the Spirit of truth as He guides you. Let me pray over you. Lord, we give this next 10 minutes to you. And I cannot jump into every person's heart and remind them and speak to them and reveal to them what only you can do, but I know you can, Holy Spirit. So all of us open up our hearts to you, Lord. We ask that you would speak to us and guide us through this exercise in such a way that we can identify what is pulling us out of alignment consistently, and then therefore also, God, show us how to get into alignment. Show us what we need to change and do differently. In Jesus' name, amen. Work on your exercise. I just want to say a couple of things, and I'll have Whitney come and pray. I want you guys to remember that this one statement: what you feed will live, and what you starve will die. And I want you to remember that spiritual alignment is a process. It's not instantaneous. It's a process. And you can't do it in your own strength. you need the Lord's help to do so. Next week, we're going to dig so deep into this. I challenge it, not next week. Actually, we have Dream Team Night next week. But the next time we meet together, we're going to dig deeper into this. I'm just letting you know. Because it's not enough to say you got to do it. We want to teach you how in real-time experience and in real life, all right? Whitney, will you come up here and finish us out? You guys give Whitney a hand.
Let us pray. Father, I thank you for a powerful night of teaching. So much goodness came out of tonight, and I thank you for each and every person you selected to be a part of Encounter. We learned last week that encounters with God change our identity. We know seeing a glimpse of you changes the way we see things. I am so thankful that we serve a God who still longs to reveal himself to us, who still has more for his children. I'm thankful that you provide a word that's inspired by you to be our guide through life. I pray tonight in Jesus' name that you reveal to us the areas pulling us out of alignment. We know we are made to be in alignment with you. We know freedom from sin and peace and a fruitful life are just some of the values of alignment. We know that Satan would like nothing more than to keep us in a world of confusion and sin and sadness and an inability to hear from God. In Jesus' name, we silence the enemy. Your word tells us that he alone is my refuge, my peace of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. Thank you for being our shelter. Thank you for being our provider and an amazing mechanic that with a push can align his children. Be with us this week as we seek these areas. Protect us, guide us, show us those areas that we need to turn a light on and to give to you fully and surrender. Bring us back next week or the week after, Father. We love you and ask all these things in your blessed name. Amen.
One last announcement. If you guys were not here last week, you need to get the link. Courtney, do we have the link? So here's the deal. I know some of you hosts came to me and said, I have people at my table that need the teaching. Get their email address. Do not let them leave without the email address. We will send you the link this week so you can get caught up. Amanda, anything else? Are we good? God bless you guys. Have a powerful week of alignment. Thanks for coming.